We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580, our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. Well, we're sorry to say we won't be able to talk this morning as we expected to do with Doyle Moore, the guy we like to call our chef in residence. We've been doing programs with him first Wednesday for a long time to talk about cooking. He can't be with us. So what we've done is we've dug into our Focus 580 archive and come up with a program that at the very least has to do with food. So we'll be doing that for the first hour. Then just a reminder that we will be here live on schedule, hour number two, talking with Stanley Ambrose. He's professor of anthropology at the University of Illinois. And we'll be talking about a find recently officially unveiled. But, well, now back to plan A, ladies and gentlemen. Doyle Moore is now entering the studio. He's going to come in here. He's going to sit down, and we're going to do the show that we said we were going to do. It's just, you put me through too many changes.
Listen. They were repairing the road, and every student in the West Christian world was crossing.
I see. Okay. Yes, they're doing some road work in the area, and that means that some streets are actually closed. We're worried about you.
Me too.
Yeah, okay. Well, come on in. Sit down. Get your breath.
Let me adjust your microphone.
Oh, we're all together.
This is like live radio. I hate it when that happens. Well, let me just pretend that that didn't happen at all.
I don't think it did. I don't even remember.
This is Focus 580. It's our morning talk show. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us, and glad to have this guy that we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and for a long time now, he's been stopping by on a regular basis on the first Wednesday of the month, and we talk about food, and always have a lot of fun telling stories about food we have known and exchanging recipes and talking about different things. Sometimes it's some key ingredient, and sometimes it's a dish, and sometimes it's a style of cooking, and sometimes we say, well, it's a particular time of the year, and that means that, you know, we're thinking about certain things, or certain things are available, and that's shaping our cooking, or maybe we don't want to turn the oven on, or we do want to turn the oven on, you know, any of that kind of stuff. So here we are now, and it's late fall or middle fall, or I don't know. Sometimes I'm not even sure what it is.
November.
It's November. And the growing season is kind of over, but at the same time, there's still a lot of good produce available at some of the later things, but there's still good stuff to be had. So his thought sort of was, well, you know, what are you thinking about at this point?
Well, you know, some people have gone out and collected their gardens, and all of a sudden you've got a mass of stuff. You don't quite know what you had planned to do with it. Mm-hmm. And I like the fall, and I liked this fall, although all my friends kept saying, oh, it was awful. It was rainy and terrible, terrible, but it was beautiful. And I thought, well, what does just being in this environment inspire you to think about? Because you can't do what you did last month, and mm-hmm. you're not mm-hmm. into the freezing snows and such. But what pleases you right now, and maybe even what has inspired you? I've got a couple of things that I've, as you always say, what made you think of this?
I do say that, don't I?
Well, generally, it's something that I have done, and it's something I've done within the last week. Because I don't think of these things the other three weeks of the month. And for example, you know, for years and years and years, my tradition, I never did it, but my tradition was, you go out and get the tomatoes, and you got all these green tomatoes. And so Mother made chow chow and piccalilli. Mm. And Charlie was the only one who knew what chow chow was. I loved that.
Oh, Charlie Lindy. Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
And because there is a chow chow, but generally that is a pickled cauliflower, in kind of a Chinese manner. And that's not it. Sorry. I think in essence, One is made with chopped tomatoes and one is made with chopped peppers. And they are like pickle relish, mm-hmm. is what mm-hmm. it is. Well, anyway, that has always been kind of well, it's time we do this now, you know, and because you can't wait and it's time to get it done. Well, I ran into a recipe and I was pleased with it because I still am interested in the influences that we gather around us all during the year. And this one kind of tickled me because in my mind, a chutney is a something that you cook for a long time and mm-hmm. it turns brown mm-hmm. and it's caramely mm-hmm. and it's delicious. It's delicious. But that the English technique of making a chutney is prevalent in what it is. Well, this one is not really a chutney, and it's not a salsa, and it's not a nothing, but it takes care of the green tomatoes. And so you chop the green tomatoes into quarter-inch dice, and then you also chop up an apple. Now, there's no real amount or decision on this, but it's chopped green apples and chopped green tomatoes, and then a tiny bit, 2 tablespoons of brown sugar, and then some sort of acid. And there are those who insist on using white vinegar, or I like apple cider vinegar. That's going to make it kind of nifty. Mm-hmm. And then a few spices, the hard spices, stick cinnamon, cloves, and allspice. And you cook that with. I suppose you could put in some white wine. I wouldn't put any red wine in it, so that you have enough liquid in it. And you cook that for only about 25 minutes, not for hours and hours and hours. And it makes a delicious little sauce that is a little piquant, you know, to go with something else that you've done that you haven't worked very hard on either. And it's fresh, and no one's tasted it, you know, and mm-hmm. waited for it for weeks or months, and you don't have to can it. You just put it in a dish and put it in the refrigerator, and it will last for 2 or 3 weeks in that way. So you would have it around, and that sort of interested me. I liked that particular idea because that's sort of new in my mind.
Yeah. Well, it sounds really good, and that it probably would be a good thing for a little, in the last couple of years, this is people would say, Dave, where have you been? But the last couple of years, I've stumbled on this technique of taking chicken breast, taking skinless, boneless chicken breast,
oh, yes.
and pounding it out.
Yes.
And then
what's it called? A paillard, yes.
And then you can saute that in the skillet in about...
8 minutes.
Even, depending on how thin.
Oh, four and four.
About 4 and 4. And that, which is really nice because then you can make something really quick.
Yep.
And you don't, and it, particularly if you use a nonstick skillet, it doesn't require very much oil, so that's pretty healthy.
Healthy,
you know, you're not
yep.
putting a lot of fat. But then the question is, okay, how are you going to give that some flavor? You don't want just a plain old, you know, chicken breast, or maybe you put a little salt and pepper, but just you want something more. So you want a little sauce, a little condiment, a little something.
A little something.
To
it
go
pushes,
with it.
It pushes
yes.
it
Yes, and it sounds like this would probably be one thing that would just work. You'd be very happy to be with that chicken.
Well, when I make my chicken.
Yes.
I put a little butter in the pan and fry it in very light butter, but mm-hmm. but there is butter, and then I squirt lemon juice over it in the last 30 seconds. And the lemon juice and the butter makes a lemon butter sauce. And that's the way I take care of exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done. That's one of my favorite tricks too. I appreciate that trick of pounding out the chicken breast.
So I'm trying to make a point my problem is I see a recipe and I think, "Oh, that would be good for that." And then later on I don't remember where did I do it? Yeah, where did I do it?
Well, go out and get a green tomato and look at it and you say, "Oh, I think I know what to do with this." Cuz it doesn't take a lot. Yeah, 3 green tomatoes and 1 apple. We'll make a nice, would make about a cup and a half of this sauce.
Yeah.
And it would be kind of tasty.
And so you would like to use the, like a Granny Smith or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah, kind of... a spicy one. crisp, spicy one. But don't make them great big pieces. And you don't, as I said, you don't cook it very long. It doesn't cook 25 minutes. And that pleases me too, because it's another thing called I don't want to start in on a project that's going to take a day and a half to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it was just ideas like that, and that seemed to fit my feeling about moving around in this atmosphere at this particular time.
Well, that's great. I like the idea. It seems that in the way that I think about at certain times of year, what might I want, that there are some things that I think of as really being fall, winter, and there's some things I think of that are being very summery when it's hot. But then there seem to be these transitional periods where I'm not exactly sure what to do.
That's exactly what we're at. And I thought we would talk this morning if people would even tell us what they're anticipating. This is when I look forward to doing this or that or whatever it is, because it is a changing time, and you do have to make a transition, because it's called, I thought we were going to grill out tonight, but it's 20 below. You know, you can't very well do that in this particular time. So there was that. That's one recipe that I did.
All right. Well, let me give our phone number here for people who would like to call in. I certainly would like to have people's input here. 333-9455. That's the Champaign-Urbana number. We also have the toll-free, and that is 800-222-9455. It's our monthly program with the guy that we like to call our chef-in-residence, Doyle Moore, who's been stopping by on the first Wednesday for a long time to talk about cooking, always trying to find something a little bit different, and often it has to do with where we are seasonally. You know, what sort of things are available? Is it summer? Is there a lot of produce? Is it winter and there's not? Are you okay with putting the oven on? Do you say, no, it's July 4th, I'm not going to put on the oven? You know, so it's different things like that. And this time around, he said, well, it is we're sort of in this in-between time, kind of, it's not summer anymore, but it's not exactly winter. There is still, you know, the farmer's market's still, I'm not sure how much longer they've been going, but they're still in business. And they're still, you know, at our house, sitting in our house, we have some really lovely sweet potatoes that came from a local grower that are just waiting to be something. People can call in and tell us, well, what are you cooking at this point of the year? As Doyle said, what are you looking forward to? What do you have a hankering for that you haven't quite done yet?
Oh, you know it's going to come.
Yeah. So 333-9455 and toll-free, 800-222-9455. I really, more and more I'm starting to think, you know, it's the sweet potato, this is a greatly overlooked
item. Oh, yes, it is.
Item.
Yes, it is.
It's a really good thing, and you can do a lot of different things with it. And I'm not sure why it is that, you know, the only thing people think of are, you know, casseroles with marshmallows that you make at Thanksgiving, and then the rest of the year, sweet potatoes don't darken your door.
Exactly. I now that you've mentioned sweet potatoes, they're really a part of what we're talking about right now, because every time anyone even says sweet potato, I remember as a, I guess I was in the 10th grade. I was living with my uncle and aunt, and they had a small farm where they raised some small things, and the sweet potatoes. He always planted sweet potatoes. Mm-hmm. Well, the trouble with sweet potatoes is, on the day of the first frost, you have to get out there and chop all of the vines off of the fruit that's underground, because the vines have started to turn black, and if the turning black keeps creeping, it will creep down. And so, isn't that what I got to do before I go to school in the morning?
Chop the vines.
Like, oh boy, get up early this morning because you've got some vines to chop. It had to be done. It was one of those things like you say, well, I'll get around to it. No, it has to be done now. And so I was out there early in the morning chopping those sweet potato vines. I liked it, though.
Yeah,
I liked it because it was a responsibility, and I was taking care of something, and I was pushing their finances farther, because he got to then harvest the sweet potatoes and sell them. So I mean, it was But I always remember that with a great fondness. So that's my sweet potato story.
All right. Well, I got no story to match that one. We'll just talk with a caller here.
Good.
We have somebody on our line number one right here. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, I'm calling about soups.
Yes.
And you're talking about sweet potatoes and then also squash made me think of making soups.
That's a good idea.
With the sweet potatoes.
A sweet potato soup is a very good, and that depends on whether you want them chunky or to mash them up and puree them and have this pureed. Yes.
Do you have a favorite recipe for something like that?
Well, I'm kind of like I taste something once and then I make it.
Yeah.
And so just chicken stock, onion, either cooked squash or cooked sweet potato. You can use olive oil to saute the onion or butter.
Yeah.
Or a little bit of both. And then just go ahead and puree those. Add some nutmeg.
Oh, yes, that would be good. Yeah, that would be good with the sweet potato. Mm-hmm.
And then if you would like, you could also add some heavy cream. But you don't have to.
I think I would like to. I think that sounds pretty good. And that is not one that you cook a long time. That's
No,
that's
very simple.
It's
mm-hmm.
simple and straightforward and done right away. Like it. Like it a lot.
Yeah, you can use sweet potatoes, butternut squash, acorn squash. Any of those
with high potassium. Butternut squash has very high potassium, and so I have to hold back on that. But sweet potatoes would be fine. Love it. Well, thank you.
Great.
You peel the sweet potatoes, but then you chop them up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to think because I'm fond of a baked whole sweet potato.
Just I like them fried too.
Fried, yes. And there are some restaurants in town that do a lot of sweet potato preparation in wedges and fries and such as that. They're really good.
Well,
really
you can get sweet potato chips.
And that, yes. Like it. Like it a lot.
Okay.
Well, sweet potato sounds like fall. I think you hit it right on the head.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
To call in.
Well, great.
Good
thanks
enough.
Very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, and that sort of puts me in mind of a soup that we haven't done this in a while, but for a while that it was something that we liked to do, particularly in the fall, which was a similar kind of thing with carrots, a carrot soup. So basically you sautéed your onions and your carrots. And then you cook them in your chicken stock, and then you can add a little something like nutmeg or, some of those – the same kind of spices that you might like to put in a pumpkin pie is very nice in there. Oh, and it has some orange juice. So
it's a
carrot and orange thing. There's also something kind of like that that I know that I have made that has apples in it.
All right, yes.
So that it's all sort of that same it's a kind of a it seems to me it's a kind of a mixture of various kinds of root vegetables, something savory, maybe something a little bit sweet, and then a stock. And I'm sure that if you didn't want to use chicken stock, you could just use vegetable stock.
Yes.
And then you can then if you wanted to have to put a little cream in it, you could. But you actually don't need to. It still has a fairly creamy puree.
I think that there's an English recipe that uses tomatoes with carrots in the same way that you're describing, a tomato and carrot recipe.
Uh-huh.
Let's see, what book is that in? Jane Brodie's, I think it's in Jane Brodie's book of English recipes or something like that. I remember that. But they always are pushing the carrot and tomato soup.
Yeah, and all to me, I think those things, particularly at the holiday, I don't know, in my mind and my taste, that makes a nice starter.
So well, a little again, bit of that it's something that you didn't have last month.
Yes.
And something that you aren't going to make. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Another caller here, Champagne. This is line number one. Hello.
Hi. I just bought a cookbook, and they had a sweet potato recipe. I presume it's like a twice-baked thing where they just use Taleggio cheese. So it's a savory sweet potato recipe.
Oh, yes.
And the sweet potatoes were small, which I presume means they're less sweet. So I can't give you the exact recipe, but the main ingredient is Formaggio.
That's an Italian.
Italian cheese.
Yeah. Right.
Is this boiled or baked? Or?
I think they're baked. I think they're like twice baked.
Like twice baked. So
yeah.
you would bake them and then scrape the out of the skins, and of course, throw the skins away. Oh, I hate that.
You just scoop out the big part.
Shove them back in. You can. I love sweet potato skins, and I've sort of been prohibited to eat them because, again, I'm watching potassium, and all of the skins of the potatoes have potassium and very high. So, I just sort of dispose of that. But
I suppose you could just peel the skin off before you cook it, and then you still have a shell.
Oh yes, you would, wouldn't you? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a good idea. And then the cheese is just put on top and then baked again.
Yeah. You can put anything in it that you would a twice-baked potato.
Oh, yeah.
Potato, I think.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. It's going to be kind of sweet.
So they use small ones that I presume don't have as much sugar.
I hadn't thought of that.
I'll try to get that recipe and send it to you.
That'll be good. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye.
Great.
That'll be
Thank
good.
Other questions, comments, recipes, whatever you just want to call and say hi. This is the first Wednesday of the month, and we at this point have always had this guy that we like to call our chef in residence on the program, Doyle Morris, his name, to talk about food and cooking and exchange recipes and stories and. We always have a good time when he's here. And this time he sort of said, well, we're in this kind of a little odd transitional stage between
fall. Well, it's not Thanksgiving yet, and we've just finished Halloween. There's nothing.
But summer's definitely.
Summer's not here.
Definitely gone. But there's
pleasant
still stuff.
Pleasant days.
And there's still local produce to be taken advantage of. So, the question is, well, now that you're okay with getting the kitchen heated up, what kinds of things are you thinking about doing? So I think soup really does sound good to me, too. And I think what's interesting is now it seems like that more and more I do see recipes for soups that are relatively quick. So that you're not.
Yes.
You don't have to be doing this.
Yes.
All day long.
Last night Alton Brown was making clam chowder, and I thought about it. I make a corn chowder, instant. It's just instant. Mm. Some bacon, chopped onion, potatoes. And then you add broth or water. No water, come to think of it. And you cook that down until the potatoes are done. And then you toss in some corn and some milk, and it's done. And I used to, when I know that people were coming over rather quickly, I could make a huge vat of that. And mm-hmm. that made everyone that and a nice rye bread roll. Made quite a quick meal, especially when students were involved.
I expect you've fed a lot of students
I have done that. Yes, this is my 50th year at the university, as a matter of fact. And I think I counted one day and I had something like 4,400 students in that period of time, which is a pile.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A pile of hungry students. Let's talk with somebody in Posotum, I think. Line one. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
It's not Thanksgiving yet, but it's not that far away.
You're right. You're right. So getting to think about is good.
Right. Turkeys on the grill. Have you ever done that?
Oh, no, I have not.
I mean, companies are starting to give them out, and it's still nice enough to cook it outside. I thought might just jump on Thanksgiving.
Well, my response to that would be I would, would you call it butterfly? Cut them down the middle of the back. I would use a big pair of shears, and I would cut the backbone out of the turkey, and then have this great big flap of meat that would be about all the same thickness, breast and leg and such as that. And then I would cook it probably not quite as hot a fire Uh-huh. And but I would try to flatten it out, because to have this great big round beastie, that's the kind of a grill. Now you can roast a chicken in a Weber, for mm-hmm. example. That's a little bit different technique. Uh-huh. But when you said grill, I thought, ooh, that would be kind of nice, because you would get a nice char on it.
Yeah.
And, but it would all cook at the same time. That would be what you would want to do.
Okay. What's the limit on the size? What size bird should you look for?
One that'll fit your grill.
Okay.
Probably smaller,
because when you sort of flatten that out, you're going to have an awful large amount of turkey there. But I would try it that way, and that I think it'd be kind of neat.
And then grill it covered. I mean, you're kind of smoking and grill it at the same time.
You could do that. But I would. I think I would put the coals around the outside edge, so that you have the turkey in the middle,
okay.
and that way it won't be getting all of the hottest all at once. I think that's the way you'd want to do it.
Right. And baste it.
Just olive oil.
Just olive oil. Okay.
Yeah, just olive oil.
And then how long normally does this take? How much of the day should I plan for to do this?
Well, I think it might take, I think probably 30 minutes a side.
Oh, okay. So that's pretty quick then.
Well, then spread it out a little more.
Okay.
It won't take hours and hours.
Okay.
Because you've cut down the surface or the amount of the meat. If you had the whole one, it would take 4 hours probably, but it won't take that long.
So get a good shears, cut the backbone out, kind of flatten it?
Yeah, and flatten it down, and so it splays out flat.
Uh-huh.
You could cut the wings off if you wanted to, because they don't do very much, and there's not much in them.
Uh-huh.
And then you would have that. I don't think I would go to the trouble of boning it, but uh-huh. And I would put it bone side down first.
Okay.
And then cook away.
All right.
That sounds like a good idea, though.
Well, I'm glad you made it around the traffic to get in.
Oh, listen, it was a mess this morning. It was a mess.
Okay.
Well,
thank
thanks
you.
Thanks for the call. Bye. We appreciate it. I guess I was thinking, you know, I too was thinking about the fact that some people, if you have the, like a Weber kettle and you have a big one, that what you can do is you can cook the whole turkey, but you're doing it by an indirect method where you're putting your coals kind of to the side. And then essentially what you're doing is you're making it a convection oven.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so it circulates the heat in there.
And that takes quite a while.
Yeah, and then you want to put a pan or something underneath
a drip pan,
the turkey
yeah.
to catch the drips. And then so it's not exposed to – it's not like when you're – most of the time when you're cooking on your grill that you're putting something right on top of – essentially right on top of the coals.
Yeah.
They're more off to the side.
Gee, maybe Bobby Flay will call in and tell us what to do.
He's chilling. He's not grilling right at the moment. Let's see what we're doing here. Urbana, line number two. Hello.
Chaffin residence.
Yes.
Let me tell you how to grill a turkey.
Okay.
Yeah, let's hear it.
The limiting factor, the big problem is as you mentioned, you got to have a grill that's big enough to get the thing in.
Yep.
So 10, 12 pounder. I have done it wonderfully well. The grill I have has a side firebox, so indirect heat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I found on the web there's a gizmo called a turkey cannon, which works in the same way as beer can chicken, if you've ever tried that.
Oh, my.
Uh-huh.
And it holds, except it holds the bird horizontally instead of upright. And I've just taken beer and bay leaf, you know, cleaned the carcass thoroughly, of course, set it on the thing, use a electronic meat thermometer that, you know, has a you can put the probe in and read the temperature without lifting the lid.
Yeah, outside, yes.
Outside. And just cook it to at least 160 degrees.
I was thinking 160, yes.
Mm-hmm, minimum of that. And it works wonderfully. Again, the problem is you have to have indirect heat. That's the one thing. And
right.
The side firebox is really, really good for that. And then any kind of infusing method. I haven't tried it just flat out on the grill by itself, but I think, again, indirect heat, and so forth, because the charcoal produces a lot of moisture anyway.
Yes.
Surprisingly. But indirect heat on the grill, and cook until it's done in the breast, and it works wonderfully. Last time I did it was about a 14-pound bird, and it was done under 3 hours.
Under 3 hours, yeah.
Yeah. Unstuffed. Now, if it's
right.
Stuffing always complicates
it.
It
makes a larger mass to heat up.
I found if you stuff a bird, you have to cook it so long to cook the stuffing, it dries out the breast and so on and so forth, and just isn't worth the trouble. Make your stuffing separately.
Put it in a casserole and do that. Yeah, do that separate. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I'll tell you the indirect cooking method too. I've been trying for years and years to find a nearly perfect rib roast. And I found out doing on the grill, indirect heat as well, the smokiness of from the charcoal and so forth chars the outside of it just enough and gives it just enough flavor. It comes out, again, wonderfully. You know, put a meat thermometer in and cook it to, say, 140 or 100, however well done you like your prime rib. And the ones with the fire indirect fireboxes can be had for, you know, they're not cheap, but the one I got, I think, was around $200, and it's a pretty good size one. They work really, really well.
Well, that's a good thing to know.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
And I hope, I guess I was thinking, you know, when we were talking with the earlier caller who asked the question about the turkey, I guess I was thinking, too, if you don't have one, it would be good to invest in an instant read thermometer.
Thermometer, yes.
And they're not as – you can get really – fancy ones that, like the caller suggests, have a little wire so you plug the element into the whatever it is you're testing, and then you can have that actually outside of the oven.
You've been watching too much.
I've been watching
Alton
too
Brown.
Much Alton Brown. but these other ones, that you know, they're not really expensive, and that just if you just want to make sure that it's cooked.
That it's cooked. That's what.
But
you're
that's
really
probably want. You know, you probably want to do that, especially if you're dealing with poultry.
Yes.
Yeah, because you want to make sure that that's.
You want, yeah, it's,
cooked.
There's nothing worse than half uncooked poultry. No.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Well, let's see. We got about 15, 20 minutes left in this part of Focus 580. It's our monthly show on cooking. Doyle Moore is here, the man we like to call our chef in residence. And I don't know what we're talking about here. It's
we're talking about the change of the time of the year.
Okay. And questions are welcome, and maybe also suggestions for a particular thing. Maybe the question is, well, at this point, what are you making? Or what are you really thinking? You know, this weekend, maybe you got a little time and you want to make something really nice. So, all right, what is it? What's it going to be? What's the thing that you're thinking, oh, I know what I'm going to make. And maybe you would want to tell us about it. We at our house, we get this magazine, Cooking Light.
Oh, yes.
It's a pretty nice magazine.
Yes.
And there's a recipe in there for, maybe that's why I was thinking about sweet potatoes. There's a recipe in there for a chicken curry that has sweet potatoes
in it.
Oh,
a curry. Oh, curry and sweet potatoes is really good. I would even allow you to use curry powder.
No Indian cook of any would not use curry powder.
Well, they don't have curry powder.
Yeah, that's something that was invented probably some Englishman.
It was. In fact, it was. He wanted to take home spices that he could cook with, and so somebody mixed up a mixture, and he brought that home. Well, of course, that's all that was in England at the time, and so he knew that mixture. And then it comes from that. It's sort of an Anglo-Indian taste, and it is a totally different taste. And like I say, you cannot go into a store in India and find curry powder under C. You know, it's not there. Yeah. Nope, they don't do that.
333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. You want to call in and say hello, share a recipe, give us benefit of some of your cooking experience, any and all, you can do that.
Well, now last week, I wanted a lemon pie. Mm-hmm. And it seemed, you know, what you're saying, what do I want? Well, no, it wasn't exactly that at all. This was a pie that I learned about many, 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 many years ago. And then I was re-reminded of it, and I thought, well, I can do that. I always thought it was kind of phony, but it isn't. This pie is so good. get some graham crackers. Take one package, not one box, one package of graham crackers. I think that's probably about 6 or 8 double ones. And then crush them up so that you have crushed graham crackers. Mm-hmm. And put them in the bottom of a good pie dish. And then get some either liquid margarine, which I never found, but I did find a soft margarine that you can squirt on. And I didn't want to use butter. That's what I'm trying to get around to. Mm-hmm. And just mix that in the bottom of the dish and then pat that all around the edge so that it is all around to the edge and then maybe forced up a little bit. I believe there's an argument as to whether you should use a drinking glass or a measuring cup, you know, to do it. Mash it down.
Yeah.
Mash it down and get that all done. And then just because I wanted to have a little bit of glaze to it, I sprinkled about a tablespoon, of brown sugar over it so that when I put that into the oven, it would brown. The brown sugar would brown and make a kind of a crust on that. And cook that for about 20 or 25 minutes at 350, and then take that out. Meanwhile, you get 5 egg yolks and 1 can of Eagle brand sweetened condensed milk. And you mix those two together. Then I got mad at the thought of having to pay $1 for a lemon, and I needed 7 lemons. So I went right straight to what's the yellow bottle of a frozen lemon juice? It's not Bird's Eye. Can't say its name. The frozen lemon juice in a tall bottle.
Okay, I'm sure it was probably one of the big juice companies.
Well, it is. It was the first
like
one.
Minute Maid.
Well, it was Minute Maid. Thank you. Okay. Yes, it was Minute Maid. And I ran home and thawed that out pretty fast, which, by the way, you can do very easy. You can just either toss it into a pan of water, because water is not frozen and the inside of the other piece is frozen. Therefore, you've got a change in temperature, and then let it sit in there for a period of time. And then I became impatient, took the top off and put it in the microwave for 20 seconds. And 20 seconds got it started, and then I took it out and fussed with it and looked at it and then put it back in for 5, and I had it melted completely. So you've got 5 egg yolks, 1 can of Eagle brand milk, and then the juice of 7 lemons. And that's all mixed up in one great big. And then I did buy me a lemon so that I could scrape some of the zest off of it, because you want some zest inside, you know, all of that. That then is poured into your graham cracker crust that's already been cooling a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of that, you get vanilla wafers, and you lay them around the edge, and you poke them down just a little bit so they're kind of in that before you bake it. So it makes a real nice scallop look around the outside. And bake that then for 30 minutes. I baked mine for 35, and I think it was 5 minutes too long. And 30 minutes would make it just perfect. And take it out and let it cool and put a topping on it. I do like Cool Whip, I will admit. And so I put Cool Whip on it. It was wonderful. And it was just the taste of autumn that I wanted, and I didn't have to pay $7 for the lemons. They're only $1.65, and you can get 7 lemons worth of juice for $1.65. And that was my contribution to what to do at this particular time of the year.
All right. Somebody else wants to tell us what to do at this particular time of the year. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Speaking of what to do at this particular time of the year, I guess, you know, one of the things that we're fond of in our house, we're not, I guess, really all that big on sweets, but we do like pumpkin pie.
Oh, my, yes.
And the thing is, though, it's my wife. Now, she's been talking about some time now because the thing that she really likes is the filling.
Yes.
She's not all that much on the crust, although a good crust, you know, she's not going to turn that down. And there is, it does seem to be sort of this problem with pie. Maybe the thing is that you were meant to bake it and then eat it.
I think you're right.
Because the crust, what happens very quickly is the crust gets kind of mushy in it.
It does. You're right. You're absolutely right.
So what she has proposed, and maybe we'll try it one of these days, essentially I think what she's talking about is a pumpkin pie without the crust. Which I suppose really would be something like a pumpkin custard, I guess.
Yes.
And maybe make it in, you know, little ramekins and cook it in a water bath or something.
Oh, yeah.
And just bypass the crust, you know, because what she really wants is the, you know, she wants that flavor. Yeah. Yes, it's that flavor. That's what she wants.
Now, does she put bourbon in it or brandy?
Well, this is, I don't know. There's a question. I don't know. For my fruitcake, I like to put a little cognac on there. But
yes.
With this, I'm thinking, well, maybe bourbon really would be the thing.
Bourbon would be is a great taste.
A little maker's mark or something.
Pumpkin pie, yes.
And you can have a little something on the side there. So I may have to report back to see how this goes. She's been talking about this for a while.
A little pumpkin ramekin.
Yes, a little pumpkin ramekin. That's exactly what she would, and I, you know, whip up a little whipped cream and maybe just put a little tiny bit of whipped cream on there. And there, you know.
No, put a whole lot.
Well,
a whole lot.
As I like to say, just the right amount.
Just the right amount.
It should just be the right amount.
The Swedes used to say, take so you have.
There you go. You know what the right amount is.
Yep.
And that's when I'm cooking and I do something like that. She says, now, is that just the right?
That's the right amount.
That was the right amount. Any more, you're gonna wreck it. Let's talk with somebody in Villa Grove here. Line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I just had a quick question about the lemon pie recipe.
Yes.
The lemon juice that you said you used.
Yes.
Is that an actual bottle or is that like from the concentrated little cans that you can buy?
No, not from concentrated cans. It's in the freezer and it's in a tall by tall, I mean about a 6-inch yellow plastic bottle.
Okay.
And it's Minute Maid and it is now I believe it may be a concentrate as well, but it says on the outside, you know, equal to the juice of 7 lemons. And
it works
perfectly, just perfect. And it's the right amount. You don't have anything to throw away.
Okay, that's just what I want to find out.
Good,
thank
perfect.
You very much.
Okay, yep. Very good. That sounds like a very basic sort of, I don't know, it sounds like the kind of thing your mother would make.
Well, it's
something, a mom thing.
It's something that some mom made. Yeah. However, I might add, it's exactly the same recipe for doing a key lime pie. Key lime pie uses key lime juice and Eagle Bran, and you get that in Key West.
Yeah. And is the result really very tart?
Oh, it's wonderful. There's no sugar put in it, by the way. The sweetening comes from the sweetened condensed milk. Enough sugar in the condensed milk, sweetened condensed milk. Now that's not evaporated, and that's not all those other things. This is sweetened condensed milk, and I believe there are some local brands, but Eagle Brand is the most famous brand.
So it must be pretty for you to be able to eat this. Then it must be reasonable on its sugar. Then
Oh yeah. It's edible. Not too much sugar.
Yeah, no. Okay. Let's see where are we going.
Ooh,
next. Suddenly we had a bunch of calls.
Yeah.
Champagne. Line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
Yeah, David, go for the pumpkin pie without the crust. You just make the filling and bake it in a pie pan. Skip the high heat and bake it for as long as you would a pumpkin pie. It turns out fine.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds easy enough.
Also, if you like the flavor of pumpkin, just Google any recipes you might find for pumpkin mousse. And I have found that
a pumpkin mousse, yes.
Yeah, put a pumpkin mousse inside of a small cream puff and then maybe halfway and then fill it with whipped cream or maybe a vanilla pudding type thing. It's very good.
That sounds great.
Yeah, and it's fancy and fun. So
yep.
That's
great,
my contribution.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
See, all you got to do is ask.
Well, and there they are.
Yes, absolutely. Champagne, next, line three. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
This is Chef Carlo calling.
Yes.
I just wondered what you did with the egg whites and why not make a meringue out of that?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. I didn't plan on doing that because it asked for the yolks and it would make a very good meringue and that would bake off real good
with a little cream of tartar.
Yes.
Yep.
And it'd be nice and thick. Oh, that's wow. Thank you.
I want to piggyback on the turkeys.
Yes.
Indirect cooking.
Yes.
I have a Weber and I have little rails and I put coals on each side of the rails for indirect cooking.
Oh, yes.
And water in the middle of the grill between the railings. And then I put the hickory chips in later in the cooking process and smoke it.
And do smoking, yes.
Golden brown. And it's just,
oh, wow.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Sounds great.
But I stuff mine, and I don't have any difficulties with that. It takes about an hour to hour 45 to get it to a 160.
Uh-huh. And do you have periodically, though, you probably have to add more charcoal?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, you do have to do that. I start some coals in one of those chimneys.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I keep those on a lid of a top of a garbage can. And then when I need them, I just pour them in there.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome.
Great. Thank
you so much for sharing all the nice recipes.
It's fun, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I teach Italian cooking classes at the Urban Adult Ed.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I've been on Celeste's show a couple, three
times. Oh, sure. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So, I just wanted to add that.
Great.
Good. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.
We appreciate it. And I think that the accessory that he talks about, I think the Weber people can hook you up with these things to help you.
Little wings.
Keep your coals together on the sides if you're going to do it like that. Yeah. All right. Let's go to Muhammad, line one. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
I've been digging sweet potatoes, so I've been looking all over, you know, for more recipes.
Yes.
Sweet potato. And I cooked a sweet potato pie the other day, and my husband liked it better than pumpkin pie.
Yes, there is a group of people that prefer that. Yep, you bet.
Well, it was really good. And what I did was just use the cinnamon and the allspice, not the cloves, no cloves, no.
Oh.
No, not allspice. I'm sorry. I said that. I used, what's the other one?
Nutmeg?
Yes.
So you use cinnamon and nutmeg?
Nutmeg, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No allspice or cloves. And it was a lot mellower.
It is mellower, yes.
Pumpkin pie. And it was very, very good. And I've also discovered on the internet recipes for chimichurri, and I had all these parsley growing outside in a pot. I either have to live with them all winter. So I found chimichurri. I had to buy the cilantro. It had cilantro and
yes.
Parsley and garlic and salt and lemon juice, and I can't remember what else, but you can find all kinds of recipes for it, but it was very enjoyable with meat and with rice.
And you saved your greens, yes.
Yes.
You were able to use them. That's good. Thank you.
Thank you. Great show.
Well, thanks for the call. Well, you know, we also back at the side of our house, we had a couple of pots with basil. And, of course, they gave up the ghost a long time ago.
Yeah.
But I'm amazed there's a pot there with parsley in it. It's fun. It's just going right along. It's fine. It does not bother, apparently,
no,
by anything.
Parsley is not a tender plant. And in fact, you can leave it in the ground, and it'll come up next year as well. And the second year, though, it bolts. And it all of a sudden, whoop, it grows about 3 feet tall and has flowers on the top of it. Mm. So the first year of parsley is what you generally are having. But then if you leave it in the ground and let it stay there, the second year, it's a 2-year plant.
Huh. Right. So we need to maybe we should look at chimichurri. We should do something with it. It's done really well. I've been pleased and sort of surprised. I think in the past, when I tried to grow it, the bunnies ate it, and I never got anything. They even ate the cilantro. I would think,
really?
You know, they wouldn't. I would think that would be too strong a flavor.
I would think so, too.
Mowed it right down. Oh, yeah. At least one more caller. Belgium, line four. Hello.
Hello, and good morning to you and Mr. Moore. Mm-hmm. And I noticed you guys got off to a little rocky start this morning.
Well, I was busy.
That was okay. And I wanted to get slightly off the topic here and suggest something for maybe next month or some future month.
Uh-huh.
And you've talked all the time about different recipes and stuff like that and your adventures in cooking, but, you know, you never talk about grocery stores. It might be nice to hear about different grocery stores.
Well,
different places to go and different things you buy, places and interesting grocery stores there are around.
Yes, that's a very good idea, because the grocery stores really are sort of sociological. They have a clientele, and years ago when there were a lot of Eisners, it was even more specific. There was the student Eisners, there was the faculty Eisners, there was the farmers Eisners, and you could buy different things in each of these stores.
Mm-hmm. And there's very interesting grocery stores all over America, and there's one that we tend to go to a lot and we like, which is Trader Joe's. And I've tried very hard to get a Trader Joe's in Champaign.
Well, a lot of other people have tried, too.
They seem to be balking on that. Well, thank you very much, sir.
You're very welcome.
We certainly are lucky that we have a lot of places now that you can go and you can get things that seasonings and products and canned goods and all kinds of stuff from all over the world.
Yes, true.
That, you know, I don't know, it wouldn't have been all that many years ago. A lot of these things would, maybe you could do the mail order, but they would be very difficult to find. And you couldn't just go down, you know, hop in your car and drive someplace
and go get it
in 5 minutes and go get something that would be used in Indian cooking or Asian cooking or Middle Eastern cooking or Eastern European cooking.
You're right.
Or, you know,
you're right.
You can now buy almost anything, I guess.
And some that you didn't think you wanted.
And some that you didn't think that you wanted. Well, we're at the point here we're going to have to finish. I'm sorry. I think we maybe had one person that we couldn't take. But we'll be back again next month, and assuming that the road work is done. Doyle will be back again next month. And we're always happy to see him and hear from people. And who knows what we'll be talking about next month. It will be December, though.
Yes, it will.
I can't believe it's November.
Let's see. What is the first Wednesday in December?
I have no idea.
I'm gone until December 1st.
We'll figure it out.
I'll be here.
Doyle Moore, the man we like to call our chef in residence. First Wednesday of every month, he's here. Thank you very much.
Good. Thank you.